Now, what a joy it is to introduce this man. You're heading to Zambia in a week's time or so, yes? Zambia. This man is going, as you can see up there on the screen, from the 21st of July to the 8th. Basically, there is an amazing mission trip where they are going to preach the gospel in many different formats. He's going to preach today to us, which is going to be great. But we're going to pray for him in a moment. But this is the kind of series also. This is the kind of series we have constructed. Basically, it's called Worship. Pastor Panin and Naomi started it off last week, which was great. It's called Worship. We're using it as an acronym. Last week was Worship. This week, O for Outreach. Next week, Relationships, R for Relationships, and so on. People are preaching and speaking in this season from an overflow of what God's doing in them. You know, Clem spent a lot of time training in the area of evangelism and outreach, and so this is only natural for him to be able to speak today. And so that's what we're looking forward to. You know, it's all based around the verse, if I've got it here, therefore I urge you, from Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And that's what Clem is doing and going to Zambia, and Alice and the kids are going to be staying here at home, so we're going to be praying for them as well. But they are offering their bodies in true and proper worship to glorify God and to further his kingdom. And we just want to encourage each one of you as you exercise your gifts. That's what you're doing as well. All right, how about I pray and we'll get into the message. Lord, I thank you so much for this man, Clem. I thank you so much that you are moving in him over the years, not just in recent times. Lord, you've been preparing him for great things. Lord, I pray over him as he goes to Zambia in the next week or so, Lord, that I pray that there will be a move of your Holy Spirit over the whole season that they're there, that when they speak the word, people will respond, that many will come to know you, many will see you for the first time, and there will be a great harvest. Thank you, Lord, that you are moving in them. Lord, we pray your blessing and your safety over Clem, and also, Lord, over Alice and the kids. And Lord, we will continue to pray as they are over there. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray a blessing over Clem now as he brings your word. Lord, may you speak a word in season for us today, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, man.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Paul. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning, church family. It's such a privilege to be here and share with you, church family. And I also want to honour the leadership of the church, Pastor Paul, Pastor Chi, and the whole leadership team. I just really love you and honour you guys. Why don't we just honour them just for a second? Let me just quickly pray and then I'll start. Jesus, we love you. We honour you. We pray that your name will be lifted up today. And Jesus, we just ask today that you just impart and release just a grace and your heart for the lost to come to know you. We ask in Jesus' name. We ask that you release a boldness and a grace to share your love with people amongst us. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that you'll speak today and move through me in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, before I start, I also wanted to quickly, I just wanted to be honest with you guys, and I just wanted to be authentic. Is that okay? Can I be honest with you guys?
Yes.
Can I be honest with you guys?
Yes.
Well, you know, a lot of people, you know, they see me up on stage, they see Alice as well. They say, man, these guys are evangelists. They must be bold. They must be extroverted. They must have a heart for the lost. And the thing is, that is sort of true. But the fact is, I'm actually an introvert. I'm actually an introvert. My comfort zone is not to be up on stage, is not to put myself out there on the line, is not to speak to people that I might not know and talk to them about Jesus and risk being embarrassed or risk being rejected or risk just looking like, I don't know. My comfort zone would be in a room by myself worshiping God. I wonder how many people sort of identify with me in that way. But the thing is, but that I also have this passion for people to know Jesus, for this passion for people to encounter him and meet his goodness. So I have this tension in my life. I have this disparity in my life. On one hand, I have my introvertness. But on the other hand, there's this desire for people to know God and to meet his goodness. But I've discovered, but over the years, that God has been discipling my heart. And as I come to a revelation and know his love for me and his love for other people, that gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger in my life. So much so that it helps me overcome my introvertness. It helps me overcome my fear of being embarrassed. And I've also come to realize that one of the best ways that I can worship God and love God back for everything he's done for me, the fact that he died on the cross for my sins, he took away my brokenness and my shame and my emptiness. And this is what this series is about. I've realized that one of the best ways I can worship God is to give him my whole life, is to kneel before him, and is to give him myself, to give him my fear of being embarrassed, is to give him my introvertness. And that's the way I worship God, and that's the way I love God. Out of everything he's loved me, I give that back to him. And I step out in obedience, and I share. Because of his love, I'm compelled by his love. Amen. And then last year I had this spiritual experience, which shook me to the core, and for me really emphasized the importance of and the urgency to be a witness and for people to know Jesus. Now, I know often we don't talk about this in church and in our culture. I know often we don't talk about eternity and hell because it's just too confrontational. It's too out there. It might offend people. It's too fire and brimstone. You know, it's better to talk about God's love. And to be honest, I used to be in that camp. But how many people know that if we don't mention the full counsel of God's word, we're not being balanced? Amen? So last year I was in Orlando, I was in America, and I was in a worship service and I was worshiping God. And then suddenly I found myself in a vision in this place which I believe was hell. And it was hot and it was dark. And I heard cries and I looked around and there were people in the fires of hell, and they were in pain and they were crying out. And I looked around and I locked eyes with one of them, and they looked at me and they said, Clem, why didn't you tell me about Jesus? Clem, why didn't you give me a chance? Why didn't you tell me about Jesus? And it shook me to the core. It marked me. And immediately I started weeping. At the same time, on one hand, I was feeling the urgency of being a witness. And on the other hand, I was feeling the love and the compassion of Jesus for the lost. Is this okay? Is everyone okay? And then this year, I came across some figures from the Lausanne movement. How many people have heard of the Lausanne movement? It's a movement started by the great evangelist Billy Graham, but in essence, it's all about missions, all about evangelism. And they published some figures this year about the state of the Great Commission. And in that, they published that around 33, about a third of the world's population at the moment, know Jesus. And that's been the case for around the last 100 years. And you might think, that's not bad, Clem. About a third of people globally know Jesus. But if you flip it around the other way, that means two-thirds of the world's population do not know Jesus. This means that if the world ended right now, two-thirds of the world's population will spend an eternity away from Jesus. But there's more. It's been estimated that every minute, around 106 people are dying every minute globally in the world. So 106 people are going into eternity. Now, if two-thirds of the world population doesn't know Jesus, and around 107 people are passing into eternity every minute, that means every minute around 70 people are spending eternity away from Jesus. Every minute, as we speak right now, as we consider these numbers, every minute, 70 people are spending an eternity away from Jesus. And when I heard those numbers, a great urgency arose in my heart. For me, it was an urgency, a call for people to know Jesus, an urgency to be a witness for Jesus. And I believe today it's an urgency, it's a call for us to be witnesses for Jesus. Amen? It's an urgency, a call for you to be a witness for Jesus. You know, that's why the vision and mission of our church are to make disciples who represent Jesus to everyone, everywhere, with everything. That's why God gave us the Great Commission. That's why He's called us to be witnesses, to be salt, to be light. Matthew 5:13 says this, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world, a town built on a hill that which cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it up on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others." Everyone, turn to your neighbor and say, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." See, what Jesus is saying here is that we're called to be salt and light. It's part of who we are. We're called to be salt. We're called to preserve the darkness, the environment around us, to preserve it, to make it wholesome. Or as Naomi shared last week, and I love it, we're called to make people thirsty for Jesus. We're called to be light. We're called to bring light to darkness, to point people to their light, to Jesus. We're called to be salt and light. We're called to be witnesses for Jesus. But this raises the question, you know, what does it look like to be salt and light? How can I be salt and light? How can I be a witness before everyone? And how can I be a witness for Jesus? So today I want to quickly share four ways from the Word of God, four ways that we can be witnesses and salt and light. Now, there are many, many ways we can, but due to the, you know, I could speak about it for the whole day. Because of constraints of time, I'm going to mention four ways. Now, I have got an acronym for you. You know, we talked about acronyms, about worship. This whole series is worship. So I've got another acronym for you, and that's SALT. So S stands for being spirit empowered. Everyone say spirit empowered. A stands for ask God, or to pray. Everyone say pray. L stands for loving others. Everyone say loving others. And T stands for talking about Jesus. Everyone say talking about Jesus. Excellent. So we're going to move through all these 4 points over the next few minutes or so. So the first way that we can be a witness is to be spirit empowered. Now, how many people know that in order to be an effective witness for Jesus, we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? Amen? In fact, it's so important that when Jesus sent out the disciples, when he wrote after he rose from the dead, before he returned up to heaven, when he was going to send out his disciples, he told his disciples, don't leave Jerusalem until you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 1:8, he says, but you will receive power. Everyone say power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. You see, we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's because the Holy Spirit is the best evangelist. Evangelist D.L. Moody says this, there is not a better evangelist in the world than the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit's already working in people's hearts around us. He's already stirring. He's bringing people closer to Jesus. All we need to do is to partner with the Holy Spirit. We need to see and ask Him what He's doing in people's lives around us. We need to step out and obey. We need to be a witness. And the Holy Spirit will take what we offer up. He will take our witnessing and He will move people's hearts close to Him, or He will bring people into the arms of Jesus. Amen. See, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts people and saves people. Amen? It's not our duty. It's the Holy Spirit. John 16:8-10 says this, and when He comes, He being the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world in regard to sin, righteousness and judgment. Now, a great example is in Acts 2, when you read Acts, the book of Acts, Acts 2. And in Acts 2, the context is, it was just after Pentecost. So, you know, Jerusalem was filled of people of Jews, the Jewish diaspora, from all over the world. They had gathered for the Feast of Pentecost. But at the same time, the disciples of Jesus, the believers, were gathering up in the upper room. And you can read in Acts that at that time, they were praying in one accord. And the Holy Spirit came. They fell upon the believers. And like tongues of fire came upon their heads. And there was a wind that blew through the place. And all of a sudden, everyone in the room started speaking in foreign languages, in other tongues, in the languages of all of the Jewish diaspora that were in Jerusalem. And it caused such a commotion that everyone gathered around, and the Apostle Peter stood up and he preached the first gospel message. If you like, it was the first gospel crusade in Acts. But just to provide some context for this, So this was Peter. Now remember, a few months ago, Peter was so scared that he had denied Jesus. Jesus was going to be crucified. He denied Jesus three times. And what you have to understand as well is that a lot of the people that were gathered around, they were probably the same people that had said, "Crucify Jesus, crucify Jesus, crucify Jesus." Yet Peter stood up in front of this crowd and he preached the sermon. In essence, he said, "Jesus is the Messiah, the Jesus that you crucified, that you wanted to kill. You killed him, you killed the Messiah, but God has made him the Messiah. God has made him king. You need to repent, you need to turn, and you need to repent." And it says in Acts that 3,000 people came to know Jesus. 3,000 people from one sermon. From a man that was previously scared to a crowd, and a lot of the crowd had formerly said, "Crucify Jesus." 3,000 people came to know Jesus. Now at that time, if you study it out, there were about 100,000 people there in Jerusalem during the Feast of Pentecost. So about 3% of the population came to Jesus. What was the difference? What was the X factor here? It was the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that gave Peter boldness to preach in front of a crowd, a lot of them that were formerly hostile. It was the Holy Spirit who convicted the crowd's hearts to come to Jesus and to repent. If we want to be effective witnesses, salt and light for Jesus, we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Everyone say, Spirit empowerment. Now, the second way we can be salt and light and be a witness is that we can ask and we can pray for God to impact and save people around us. Now, Pastor Paul spoke a lot even earlier during the service about the importance of prayer, how it encourages our missionaries, how it helps along with their work. And Naomi spoke last week a lot about prayer as well. She mentioned from Colossians 4 about praying for God to open up doors, to share, to be a witness, and to share about Jesus clearly. So I'm not going to cover those things again, but what I am going to share is that it's extremely biblical to pray for people to come to know Jesus. You know, Romans 10, 1 to 2, Paul talks about how his desire and prayer to God is that for his fellow Israelites, his fellow Jewish people, to come to know Jesus. Billy Graham, the greatest evangelist of all time, says this: prayer is crucial in evangelism. Only God can change the heart of someone who is in rebellion against him. No matter how logical our arguments or how fervent our appeals, our words will accomplish nothing unless God's Spirit prepares the way. So I want to encourage all of us to pray. To pray for our relatives who don't know Jesus, to pray for our friends who don't know Jesus, to pray for our neighbors who don't know Jesus. But at the same time, I want to encourage you to pray and keep on praying, because I know that a lot of people are already praying for your lost relatives and for your lost friends. And how many people know that sometimes we pray and we wonder whether anything's happening? But I want to encourage you, something is happening. You know, in James, it talks about how the prayer of a righteous man is effective and is powerful. And I've got permission to share this story, but how many people know Jess Lingham? So Jess has been praying for her mother to know Jesus pretty much since she became a Christian. So for around 20 years, I believe. Is that correct? 30 years. 30 years she's been praying. And praise God, earlier this year, through a series of circumstances, her mother decided to follow Jesus and have Jesus change her life. Can I hear an amen? So I want to encourage you, sometimes the journey might be weeks, sometimes the prayer journey might be months, sometimes it might be years, even 30 years, but know that Jesus hears your prayers and that Jesus wants your lost friends, relatives, colleagues to know him even more than you want them to know him. So the second way we can be a witness is to pray. Everyone say pray. So far we've covered being spirit empowered, asking God. And the third way we can be a witness is to love other people. So how many people know that when we love others, we're displaying who God is? Because God is love. 1 John 4, 7-8 says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who doesn't love doesn't know God, because God is love." So God is love, that's who he is. And when we demonstrate love to other people, we're being a witness. We're showing people who God is. But how many people know that, you know, sometimes it's hard to love people on our own accord? And what we really need to do is we need to love people from the love that Jesus gave us. That's why it says in 1 John 4:19 that we love because he first loved us. See, we receive God's love and then we give God's love away to other people. But you know, often when we say loving people, it can be like an airy-fairy concept, you know, like just love people. I mean, what does it look like to love people? What does it look like? As the missionary Heidi Baker says, love looks like something. And the Bible is quite instructive on what it looks like to love other people. You know, in Mark 12:31, it says, the second great commandment is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than this. So really what the Bible here is saying is that one way that we can love other people is to treat people the way that we would like to be treated. So just say you're in Coles and you're buying something and the shop assistant is giving you the wrong change. Loving her would mean being patient and smiling and thanking her instead of being frustrated. Because if you were the shop assistant, you would want the customer to be kind and patient to you. Or maybe your friend that doesn't know Jesus is going through some stuff and is suffering. Maybe a relative of theirs died. So loving them practically would mean, you know, listening to them, being nice, maybe even praying for them, even giving them a meal. Because if your relative passed away and you were grieving, you would want someone to pray for you. You would want someone to lend a listening ear. You would want someone to give you a meal. Or maybe, and Naomi spoke about this last week, maybe it's offering a good service when you're at work. So maybe it's doing the best that you can at work because you're loving your customers. I mean, how many people when you go to, maybe when you go and have your tire fixed, you want the people to do a bad job? You want them to do a good job, right? So likewise, when you're at work, do the best job that you can because you want other people to offer you a good service and offer you a good job. Amen? Or maybe it could be helping the homeless person on the street who's down and out, who's got no money, who's hungry and has got no shelter. Because if you were down and out and you were outside and you had nowhere to live, you would want someone to help you. You would want someone to give you money. You would want someone to give you some food. You would want someone to pray for you. And you know, our church is very good at this, I believe. You know, we've got Love Loud. You know, we practically help people. And I just really want to encourage people to be involved in Love Loud. It's one way we can practically love people. We can treat other people the way that we want to be treated. So the third way is loving people. Everyone say loving people. Now the fourth way that we can be a witness is to talk to people about Jesus. And Romans 10:14 says this, "How then can they call on the one they haven't believed? And how can they believe in the one of whom they haven't heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news." So what this passage is saying, in essence, is that for people to meet Jesus, for people to know about Jesus, they need someone to talk to them about Jesus. If people are going to know about Jesus and meet Jesus, they need witnesses to talk to them about Jesus. Now you might be thinking, hey Clem, you know, I was with you for the other 3 points. You know, being spirit empowered, I can do that. I can ask the Holy Spirit to empower me to pray. I can do that. I do that all the time. You know, I pray for my friends to know Jesus. I pray for my family to love others. Yeah, I can do that. I can love. I think I can, with God's love, I can help. I can treat people the way that I want to be treated. But talking to people about Jesus, man, that's scary. I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to step out of my comfort zone. And friends, I get it. I'm an introvert myself. But can I just share quickly four ways that have helped me along this journey to overcome my introvertness and to step out and to go into that uncomfortable zone. And the first thing is this. I ask God to give me his heart of love for the person. And often when I start feeling God's love for the person, his love overcomes any fear that I might have of looking stupid or being rejected. I mean, how many people know that it says in God's word that perfect love casts out all fear? And God's love for that person can help you overcome the fear that you have of looking, being embarrassed or stepping out and being in your uncomfortable zone. Secondly, I ask the Holy Spirit for help to guide me and empower me. You know, we spoke about that, the first point, being empowered by the Holy Spirit. But how many people know that the Holy Spirit's not called a comforter for nothing? He helps comfort us. He helps empower us. When we step out and be uncomfortable, when we share about Jesus, the Holy Spirit comforts us. Amen? Thirdly, I'm constantly aware of eternity. I'm constantly aware of the fact that tomorrow is not guaranteed, that our life is like a mist, that any single minute the person in front of me might be stepping out into eternity, and I might be the only witness, the only chance that they have to know about Jesus. And finally, I leave the result to the Holy Spirit. Whether the conversation is just sowing seeds about Jesus or it's bringing them into the arms of Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit that does the work, amen. Is the Holy Spirit that convicts. All I do is that I step out in obedience, guided by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit takes what I do and he either sows a seed or he brings them into his arms. But I'm not responsible. It's the Holy Spirit, amen. I'm not responsible for saving them. It's the Holy Spirit. So if they reject what I'm saying, that's okay. They're not rejecting me. They're rejecting Jesus. But at least I've sown a seed. Amen. So there are many different ways we can talk about Jesus and we can talk to people about Jesus. One way is bringing Jesus into our everyday conversations. And again, Naomi sort of spoke about this last week. And I recommend if you haven't seen the sermon to watch it last week. But how many people know that if Jesus is the main thing in our lives, if our lives belong to Jesus, if we don't talk about Jesus or at least mention him when we're speaking to someone else, we're not being authentic. Amen? If Jesus is the main thing in our lives, if our lives are all about Jesus, if we don't mention Jesus in our conversations, maybe we might not be authentic, or maybe we might not be letting the other person really know who we fully are. And again, Naomi was really good at this. Like you remember how she shared that people at her work, her boss knew that she was a Christian, and it opened up an opportunity for her to share about marriage, share about relationships. Her boss actually came to her and asked her for relationship advice. And Naomi was able to share how Jesus, how the gospel had made a difference in her life. But I mean, how often do we not talk about Jesus? And I'm guilty of this as well. You know, I mean, we might go to work, we might go to uni on Monday, we might be speaking to our friends and people go, hey, how are you going? What do you do on the weekend? And, you know, apart on Saturday when you might have spent time with friends or gone out with your family, on Sunday you came to church. Maybe Pastor Paul, maybe Pastor Chi, maybe Pastor Kyle or Pastor Sharon. They preached an awesome message that touched your heart. There was something in there that God spoke in your heart and it changed your life. And then maybe you're feeling anxious or maybe you had pain in your back and you came up for prayer after the service and Ron prayed for you and God used Ron and you received God's peace or Auntie Carolyn or Monique prayed for your back and the pain disappeared.
And here this person isn't asking you, how was your weekend? What did you do? And you go, and I mean, I'm guilty of this as well. You know, I'm preaching to myself. You go, oh, nothing much. Just caught up with my family. And that's it. You don't mention what Jesus did in your life. And in doing so, number one, you're not being authentic. And number two, you're missing an opportunity to be a witness, to talk about what Jesus has been doing in your life. Now, linked into talking about Jesus in your everyday conversations, another way we can talk about Jesus is sharing your testimony. An Australian author and City Bible Forum evangelist, Sam Chan, writes this. Because we live in a postmodern era with many people having a postmodern mindset, often people don't believe something because it's true, but they believe something because it's livable, because it's real, and because it's authentic. And because they believe it, it becomes true to them. So people don't believe something because it's true, but they believe something because it's livable, because it's real, and because it's authentic. And because they believe it, it becomes true to them. See, this is why your testimony is so powerful. Your testimony tells your story about your experience with God. And it makes God feel real and authentic and believable. You know, there's a saying that goes, a man with an argument is always at the mercy of a man with an experience. Amen? So no one can argue against your testimony about what God's been doing in your life. You know, maybe you might be sick, maybe you might be in hospital, and you might be going for surgery, and before you were scared, you were afraid, you didn't know what was going to happen. But then, you started talking to God, you read the Bible, God spoke to you from a verse that gave you peace, and you had your life group praying for you, you had the church praying for you, and God's given you His peace. And then you're sitting there in the hospital, and there's someone next to you who's also afraid, they're sick, that they don't know what's going to happen. There's uncertainty in their life. That they're afraid. They're anxious. They don't know what's going to happen. And you start talking to them. And that's a great opportunity to start sharing about what God's done in your life. See, when you share a testimony, it doesn't need to be about how you came to Jesus. It could be what God's doing in your life right this minute. And the final and perhaps the most important way that we can talk about Jesus is to share the gospel or the good news of Jesus. Romans 1:16 says this, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God." Everyone say, power of God. "That brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile." So it's important. We should be able to share the good news of Jesus in a couple of minutes. We should, as Paul wrote, we should be ready to share why we have the hope, why we believe what we believe. Now, you might be thinking, Clem, you know, I get it. You know, I get it that I'm meant to talk about Jesus. But I don't want to be like that guy, you know, that guy that's out there who bashes people on the head with the Bible. I don't want to be like that guy. I don't want to be like that guy who puts people off Jesus because they just go ahead and they talk about Jesus even though people don't want to hear about it. Now, I totally get it, and I was there as well. But what I found something that an evangelist called Bo Crescetto wrote that was really helpful for me. And Bo Crescetto wrote a book called Beyond Awkward, when talking about Jesus is outside your comfort zone. And in that, he talks about the fact that the main factor is reading the person that you're talking to. The main thing is being guided by the Holy Spirit and looking at the person that you're talking to. See, a pushy person is someone who talks about Jesus and barges ahead even though the door is closed. You know, the person that's not interested about Jesus, but the pushy person just keeps on talking about Jesus. But the bold person, they're guided by the Holy Spirit. They see a door. They might just mention, you know, I went to church on Sunday. And they look and they read the person. And the person looks interested. So they then go on and start talking more about Jesus and what Jesus did. But then there's a timid person. And how many people have been there? I mean, I've definitely been there. A timid person, the door's open. But you don't go ahead and you share the gospel. And you know, how many of us often, we say, we don't want to be pushy, but in fact, we're just being timid. I mean, I'm definitely guilty of that. I'm preaching to myself here. But church, let's be Let's not be timid people. Let's not be pushy people. Let's be bold people. Let's be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let's partner with the Holy Spirit. Let's see what He's doing in people's lives around us. And let's step out. Let's love people and let's share about Jesus when the doors open. Amen? Let me finish with this story. And can I please get the worship team to come up, please? So I'm getting thirsty with all that talking. Can I get the worship team up, please? So I just wanted to close. Before I close, I just wanted to quickly share a story from Jeff and Grace's life group, which is actually my life group. And you can see the beautiful life group here. But this story is really the story about Tom and Jenny, and I do have their permission to share this story. Now, as all of you know, Auntie Margaret, you know, she really loves people. She's full of God's love. And one of the ways that this has outworked is that she runs a playgroup during the week. And Jenny and Auntie Margaret connected during the playgroup. And God had already been working. The Holy Spirit had already been working in the lives of Tom and Jenny. Both of them had had some contact with Jesus in the past. Jenny, her family was Christian. And she did believe in Jesus. She identified as a Christian. But she perhaps wasn't as close to Jesus as she would like to be. And Tom at that time, he was distant from God. He was distant from Jesus. He didn't know Jesus personally as his Lord and Savior. But the Holy Spirit had been working in their lives, had been stirring in their lives, giving them hunger to find more about Jesus, to go to church, to find a life group. So Auntie Margaret connected with Jenny, and with Jenny's permission, gave her phone number and made a contact between Jenny and Jono and Winnie, because Jono and Winnie had a daughter around their had children around their age. And Jono, when he invited Tom and Jenny to their life group, and Tom and Jenny, you know, that they would share that when they came to the life group, they were just struck by the hospitality in the life group and the love of the people and how much they were welcomed. You know, they were feeling God's love, especially from Jono and Winnie and from Jeff and Grace. And they felt welcome. They started joining the life group and coming every second week. And they're led by the Holy Spirit. John and Winnie, they decided to start a Bible study with Tom and Jenny just to talk more about Jesus and to learn more about Jesus through reading the Word of God. And Tom and Jenny came and they met every week through Zoom. And this happened for several months. And during that time, they got to know more about Jesus and the Holy Spirit was working in their hearts. And finally, earlier this year, during a Bible study with John and Winnie and Jeff and Grace, Tom decided to make a decision for Jesus, to open up his heart to Jesus. It suddenly clicked and it all made sense. And he was ready to give his life to Jesus and to have his life changed by Jesus. And he will tell you this himself, but he just felt the presence of God there. And earlier this year in Easter, they were baptized. And they shared a testimony of how Jesus changed their life. And church, my friends, I tell you this story today because the Holy Spirit had been working in their hearts. But it took ordinary disciples like you and me, like Jono, like Winnie, like Jeff and Grace, and like Auntie Margaret, to partner with the Holy Spirit to bring them into the arms of Jesus. It took ordinary disciples to love them, to pray for them, to talk to them about Jesus, for them to meet Jesus and to have their lives changed by Jesus. And I wonder how many of us here today have Tom and Jenny's in our lives who are waiting for us to partner with the Holy Spirit to talk to them about Jesus. I wonder how many of us here have Tom and Jenny's in our lives who are waiting, who the Holy Spirit's working on and are waiting for us to partner with the Holy Spirit to love them. I wonder how many of us here have Tom and Jenny's in our lives who the Holy Spirit's working on and who are waiting for us to be witnesses for Jesus. My friends, the Bible says that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. There is urgency in this hour. Let's be witnesses for Jesus as a church. Let's be salt and light. Let's be Spirit empowered. Let's pray for people. Let's love people. And let's talk to people about Jesus. Amen. In a minute I'm going to close, but I just wanted to pray for two groups of people here. Prayer team, can I just get you to come forward, please, and just stand up the front? And why don't we all stand in the presence of God? You know, earlier this morning, I shared about a profound spiritual experience that I had, which shook me to the core, which highlighted the importance of eternity, highlighted to me the reality of eternity, highlighted to me the importance of knowing Jesus. And maybe you're here today and you've never ever decided to have a relationship with Jesus. You've never ever decided to surrender your life to Jesus. Or maybe you're here today and you used to walk with Jesus, used to be close to Jesus, but you've backslidden, you've walked away. Or maybe you're here today and you just want to have your eternity secured. You want to know that you'll go to heaven if you stepped over and your life ended today. Then today I believe that God is inviting you to come to Him, to come to know Him today, to have your eternity secured. You know, God created each of us to walk in relationship with Him hand in hand. He created us to walk in His love and His peace and His eternal life. But the Bible says that we've all sinned. We've all done things which hurt other people, selfish things which hurt God's heart. And sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from God. And it results in the brokenness that we see in this life today, in the world today. And it results in an eternity away from Jesus. But Jesus loved us so much. He didn't want us to be separated from Him. He didn't want us to spend eternity from Him. He didn't want us to be in our sin and His brokenness. And God came as Jesus 2,000 years ago. He died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, to take away our sins. And He rose again 3 days later, proving that He's God and giving us eternal life. And today He's alive and He's inviting us to come into relationship with Him. And if we decide to come to Jesus, if we decide to give our lives to Him, to repent, to turn from our sins and to follow Him, and to believe in what He did on the cross, then He will take our life and He will wipe away all our sin, all our brokenness, all our shame, and our relationship with God will be restored and we'll have eternal life. So right now is a holy moment. Can I get everyone to close your eyes, please? And in a minute, I'm going to count to three. But if you're here today and you know that you need to make a decision for Jesus, you want to come to Jesus today, either you want to come back to Jesus or you want to make a first-time decision for Jesus, or if you're here today and you want to confirm, you want to have that certainty that you'll spend eternity with Jesus in heaven, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Is everyone ready? One. Your eternity is at stake. This is the best decision you'll ever make. Two, if Jesus is calling you, you feel your heart beating, a churning in your stomach, that's Jesus calling you to Him. Don't resist Him. Come to Jesus. Three, if right now you want to make a decision for Jesus or you want to be certain that you'll spend eternity with Jesus, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand right now all over this place. Is there anyone here? Just raise your hand. Thank you. I see a hand there. I see another hand there. Anyone else? Anyone else? I'm just going to wait for you. Is there anyone else here today? The Bible says that our life is like a mist. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. Today, Jesus is calling. He wants you to spend eternity with Him. Is there anyone else here? I'll just wait for a couple more seconds. But this is so important. And if you're online, just say, that's me. That's me. Okay, right now what I'm going to do is that if you raise your hand because you wanted to make a decision for Jesus, I'm going to ask you to do a very brave thing. Often we need to confirm an internal decision with an external step. I don't want to embarrass you. But how many people know that Jesus, He died on the cross for us publicly? And today I'm going to ask you to take a public step for Jesus. So for those who raise your hands, can I meet you down here? I want to shake your hand. I want to pray for you. We have a Bible that we want to give you. And church, why don't we support these people? Why don't we just clap? So if you raise your hand, can I ask you to come down the front? I'm just going to wait for you for a couple more seconds. I'm going to get everyone to do this. Why don't you be an evangelist now, and why don't you turn to the person next to you and ask, do you need to come down the front? If you do, I will come with you. Okay, I want to honor everyone's time, so I'm not going to belabor this anymore. But why don't we just pray together? And for those people who know that you should have come down the front, please come down to the front at the end of the service. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are God. Jesus, I believe. Let's pray this louder, church. Let's shout it out. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. Jesus, I believe that you rose again 3 days later. Jesus, I believe that you're alive today. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I call upon your name. Save me now. Jesus, I give my life to you. You are the Lord of my life. I renounce all other gods. I renounce all other idols. From this day forward, I will follow you. Thank you that I now belong to you. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says, amen.